I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Bill Courtwright, and I am here with the super millennial, David Barreto, giving us the millennial perspective. Hey, Dave, I almost missed the entrance there. Did you see that?
You did, but you cut on.
Do you think they'll hear it?
They'll
know now, right?
That's the editor.
They'll know now. So this week, our topic is the prison of our own belief systems. In today's Connection Thursday, we're going to be discussing vibration in our reality. And today, I am going to share my personal spiritual practices in quite a bit of detail. So you got anything, David, before we get started?
No, I'm going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Not much. You're not going to be talking much in this one. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
So on our book study, as we're going to be coming to the end of A Happy Pocket Full of Money in the next couple of weeks, I got a great suggestion from Danielle. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, in the community. And she had said, you know, to take a look at the Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And it's a pretty interesting book. It's going to give us a little bit of different view on joy. So it's the Book of Joy by the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Anything, you all right with that?
Yeah, I'm excited to hear you try to pronounce some of these words.
I think you know it is. Pronounce that poor girl's name probably wrong too. So, all right, so let's kick this in. We've been talking this week on the prison of our belief systems. And today we're going to talk on our vibration and our reality. And today, like I said, I'm going to share my spiritual practices in more detail than I ever have in the past. And the reason I'm doing this is because recently I've had a pretty significant shift that I will discuss later in the episode. But first, the title of this episode is Vibration in Our Reality. And I'd like to talk about that first, David. So the human being, as is everything in existence, is energy. The level of vibration or energy is the source that creates matter and your reality. So if I'm walking along a trail and trip on a rock, my reality is the rock is solid. My reality is my perception. But if I take that rock and view it through a very powerful microscope, my reality will be altered, for I will see my perception that the rock is solid is not true. It's actually made up of particles and empty space. Now, the rock itself has a source. It's energy, it's vibration that makes it a rock. The rock does not have consciousness. Thus, it cannot change its vibration. Nothing can rise higher than its source. You understand that, Dave? You have any comments on that?
Nope, so far so good.
So, we talk about this, yet the human being has consciousness. And this simply means the human being can alter and change their vibration. All things in our universe are constantly in motion, in vibration. Your vibration in any given moment is building your reality in that moment, and it is also building your future. Your vibrational reality is in one of two states. It's either in event, judgment, and reaction. And in this particular vibration, here you defend your reality in attack. Thus, this current reality becomes your future reality. Whatever you fear, fight will persist. What you resist will persist. And this is being created in judgment. See, to judge anything is to be against it. Thus, resist it. This vibration creates your reality now and tomorrow. And the other vibrational state is event, awareness and response. In this vibration, you're surrendered to what is. This allows you to live in the vibration of the green zone energies. The 200 courage vibration gives you conscious mind control. This expands your vibration in focus and becoming alert. In this vibration, you slow down. Now, your vibrational reality is never stagnant. As you are in event awareness and response, your vibration will be increasing. You now move into 250 neutrality. This vibration allows you to be flexible with your reality. You now question your belief systems. You respond to conflict in response with the vibration. I could let this go, and I could be explorative and look at other possibilities. And this too raises your vibration to 310 willingness. In this vibration, you ask, would I let this program go? Could I release this perception that I have? Am I truly willing to change? This one question, when in agreement, raises your vibration to 350 acceptance. Here you become surrendered. You let go. You release attachment to your belief systems and to your past. This increases your vibration to 400 reason. Here you now embrace life. And this is the expansion and vibration that opens the gates to the higher spiritual energies of 500 love, 540 joy, 600 peace, and those purple zone energies. So you under, Dave, what's your thoughts? Did I make this understandable?
Yeah, I think the takeaway for me after listening to this is when you get to that vibration, it's the responding to that deeper, you know, inner why is that messing with you versus the reality of a situation happened and you're reacting to the situation. You're responding to how you're feeling and the thoughts coming up, correct?
So you're within.
Yeah. Yeah, you're instead dealing with being what's a going on here, not yes. really what's going on out there. Yeah,
you talked about that yesterday. That's exactly mm-hmm. what it is. You're, when you do that, you are absolutely raising your vibration. Mm-hmm. I know this is going to be a little deep episode, so what I need you to do, David, is make sure that if you don't understand something, let me bring it back to point.
Yeah, okay? Yeah. I'll let you know anything I don't get.
Now, this is important. Nothing can rise higher than its source. Your source as a human being is set through your belief systems. The programs you hold in mind is the energy, the source, your vibrational reality. Your source is set through your programs. Your programs are what sets your vibrational reality through your thoughts. Your vibrational reality is activated in what you feel in the moment, your emotions, your state. Thoughts translate into emotions. Emotions are feelings setting your vibration. And your vibration creates your reality now and tomorrow. See, your vibration, your source, your state ripples into the universe and mirrors back into your life. So as we discussed this week, your belief systems are what drives your behavior. Your behavior builds the life you are experiencing in this very moment. Stress mastery and its practices are designed to alter your source, to change your vibration, thus change your reality and put your life in your hands. David, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of times when we see like these incidents where like either for a bigger examples, like when people talk about like gun violence or depression, things like that, people look at that experience or that event that happened, but you go back to the beginning, you know, what were the programs that the child was given? What was the things that he was taught that caused those behaviors that got to that point. I think a lot of people focus on the event that happened versus the behavior that led to that event. And I think that's kind of how I perceive this.
You know, it's very good. Actually, I think that was a very good description. So I'm going to describe my daily practices. Now, first, understand that no one can tell you how to set your spiritual practices. This is your journey. Your spiritual practices are about setting your day, setting your moment so you can control your destiny. This is not controlling life. It's controlling your response to life. Spiritual practices have a single purpose: to bring your source into a peaceful vibration. Do we understand that?
Yeah.
That's first.
Mm-hmm.
Second, what has worked for me has evolved over 40 years of practice. It's not the way. It's my way. My reason for beginning to start teaching this aspect of stress mastery is to share my experiences. Now, me sharing my experiences may make your journey out of reaction and into awareness much shorter than mine. It might or it might not make your journey easier, faster. It's your journey. So that's the first thing I want everybody to understand. Okay? Mm-hmm. You agree, right?
100%.
So here's my daily routine. One, I awake at 4 to 4:30 in the morning, and the first thing I do is slow down. I must see what's activated. I'm watching my ego very carefully. I want to see what energy is Barry going into. And then number two, I listen to the podcast as I get ready to shower, do my morning stuff, or I'm listening to the podcast while I'm showering. But I always listen to the podcast every single day. Now, it's kind of fun for me more now because out of 7 shows, right, I only do 3. And then one's a book study. And then I have Mark's shows and I got David's shows. So it's fun for me. But the reason I listen to my own shows is because a lot of times when I write these shows, it is streamed consciousness. So it's coming out. And I want to hear what I'm saying. I want to hear what it's about. Mm-hmm. And David will tell you, I take a lot of time in writing these shows, and I'll explain that in a second here. I even rehearse the shows before I go on. So it's a lot of time spent.
Yeah.
So number three, as my shower closes, at the end of my shower, I do tapping. I do what's called stress mastery tapping with the let go technique. Now, my aim in doing this is to deal with the program that was activated the first thing I noticed in the morning. The other day, the program that was activated was hesitation. And I realized, oh, I'm hesitating on a certain action because hesitation is a fear energy, and that's part of my comfort zone. And it actually drove me to action. This happens every single day. After I finish the shower, I then do my Kriya yoga practice, which leads into my meditation. Now, I'm going to discuss what Kriya is in a moment. Then number 5, after I finish that, I read A Course in Miracles, and I go through the lessons on there, and then I read my Stoic lesson for the day, and I do my journaling. This takes me about 90 minutes or so. I then go from there, and I do 1 hour of the bike, the aerobic movement, my movement exercise in my zone. While I do that, I am working on writing the podcast. If I don't have to write a podcast in that moment, I'm researching the next podcast. So that's where I work my podcast. Then it's shower number 2 and I'm off to work. During the day, I practice the slow down technique. I will consciously every hour do the technique. I simply take a breath and consciously do the mantra, slow down. So all day long, I'm practicing. And my spiritual practices are with me all day. Now, midday, I will take a break. And this sometimes can be just relaxing or a meditation or a nap, depending on what is going on in my life. Then I work out. I do my workout. I do my regular workout. Now, my work, and I want you to understand this, is also my spiritual practice. I use our green focus management system, so I stay in a green zone focus, and my work is my higher studying, teaching, whatever I'm doing. My work is spiritual practice for me. And I consciously transition my roles between tasks. At night, I may do, a lot of times now I am doing another aerobic in the afternoon, another aerobic exercise, biking or walking, again in my zone. And then I record the podcast. After recording the podcast, I close my day. I close my day, setting the next day. I journal and I do another session of Kriya Yoga. This takes about 30 to 45 minutes. I sleep with special earphones and I listen all through the night to tones, certain frequencies that are designed for healing my body and mind. And this enhances my sleep and my recuperation. This is my spiritual practices every single day. Now, when anyone hears this for the first time, they think I'm full of crap. They always will call out. They'll call me out. There's no way. Right, David?
All the time.
But it's the truth. I follow this routine every single day, and there are no breaks. It's the same routine whether I'm home or I'm on the road. So David will tell you, I don't need anybody to defend me, but I do that. That's the first thing people will tell me. They'll call me out. There's no way. The second thing they do is they wonder, when do you do your work? Well, I get up early. David and I were actually talking about that today and how much work I get done before anybody ever gets out of bed. But I put in a good 8 focused hours of work every day. That means that I don't waste a moment at work. I don't waste a second. I'm not on Facebook. I'm focused in my work. But I also do work 7 days a week. But as I stated earlier, my work is part of my spiritual practice. So I don't know how to explain it to people. I don't need a day off. In fact, I don't want a day off. David always asks me, do you need a day off? No. I do modify Saturday because it's my cheat day. But that ends at 3:00 in the afternoon. Right? That's my short day. So right now, I currently have 2 companies that I run, and the third is in development. That's everything David and I are working on now. So there is quite a bit of action in my life every single day. Yet, I am not going to ever get stressed out, streamed. It just cannot happen. See, when you're in the vibration of awareness and response, conflict resolution is an automatic skill. And this for me has become a habit. So that's the second thing people will say to me. The third thing people will tell me is, I am different because I have so much discipline. Again, this is false. I am a human being. I operate the same as you. I function in the same manner. 95% of my behavior is driven from the subconscious mind, just like you. The difference is I have released my belief systems. I have consciously created skills, habits. These habits are all the practices that I just explained. So my behavior supports my vibration in event and awareness and response. I don't have to think or force any of the practices that I just described. They are as natural as brushing my teeth. So willpower is not the answer. Transforming your mind, moving into a full stage 4, self-authoring your programs, letting go of everything that does not support love, joy, and peace. That's the answer. And then the biggest thing is with spiritual practices is staying consistent until you shift into stage 5 interconnected mind. Because here, struggle ceases to happen. Yet, you must continue to practice, for stage five is not the last stage of development. So, David, it's a lot. I know this is kind of my episode. I'm going to dominate this episode a little bit, but can you give your perspective of this a little bit to the audience?
Yeah, I think so. So I'll go back to kind of when I first started working with you, at least seeing you do all these things. You know, I used to think the same thing everybody else did. This man is a machine. Like, I was like, how the hell? There's no way. I used to think it's because you worked from home. I used to think it was because you had more free time. I used to think all of these things. I even thought, you know what? Military training got you up at that time. Then I started to realize that the things that you do on a daily basis is for your daily productivity, and then, you know, for you. And we've spent how many times in a hotel together? I see this happen, you know, over and over, and it's consistent. And that's the thing that I think I've learned with it, is that it's the consistency from it. I don't care if we're traveling to Wisconsin, to California, to everywhere we've been, it's been exactly the same. The diets have been the same. They're modified to work for what you need. And I've seen that it allows you to stay consistent even when things like, you know, start to rattle me, because I'm not so locked in. I'm learning how to do the same consistency as you, especially in the beginning. So I think that was something that I've learned to see, that, you know, it made me realize that everybody could do it, but the practices that work for you, when I tried to do it, it did not work for me because I wasn't there, and it didn't work the way that my lifestyle, my day was. Yeah. So I think that's a big thing for me.
You have to build your own practices. Now, I'm going to share the one practice that really transformed me in my spirituality. I'm going to share it. I've never shared this before. Because if I had to pick only one practice, what would it be? For sure, without a second of a thought, it's Kriya Yoga. David, have I ever talked to you about my Kriya Yoga practice?
No.
And now you're going to find my shift in what happened. So the science of Kriya Yoga was taught by a 19th century yogi, Lahari Mahasaya. Kriya Yoga is the sacrifice of the breath. Now, what's interesting about the background of this technique, Lahari was a householder with five children. He wasn't living in a cave. He received Kriya from the master Babaji. Lahari made it clear that Kriya was not a religion, and one should not give up their religion to practice Kriya. In fact, Kriya Yoga is nothing like a religion. It's a practice that brings you in touch with God, thus deepens your current faith. Kriya creates knowing. So when I talk about knowing, it's through experience. So Lahari taught that the key principle of the spiritual path is to become one with the Supreme. We can call it God, we'll call it Supreme. I'm going to use his wording, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is done by raising prana, vibration. This is what Kriya does. And for the individual to perform supreme action throughout the day is what completes Kriya Yoga. So the practice of Kriya increases prana, vibration. And then you take it in through the day, and the individual, with every action they do, is performed through higher vibration. You with me so far?
Yeah.
So when we look at what is prana and vibration, it's what we're talking about. It's your source. It's your energy. It's your ability to connect. We showed you how that expansion into the green zone happens. Well, when you can stay in that expansion, this is increasing prana, vibration, energy. It is actually the ego that lowers prana. It withdraws us away from the Supreme. Now, this is the practice of Kriya. It's all day. Starts in the morning, and then through action, You are living through this higher vibration of prana. And then it closes with another practice at night. This is what creates knowing, because throughout the day, you are experiencing this energy. It's not about the practice. It's about what the practice and the state it puts you into. So I am sure many of you listening have never heard of Kriya Yoga. And here is why. Lahari had set guidelines to practice and, more importantly, live Kriya in a higher vibration. And he taught specific things. One, do not become an apostle. Do not turn your back on your own religion. So he taught Kriya to Muslims. He taught Kriya to Christians. He taught Kriya to anybody who wanted to learn. Right? Two, do not take the renunciate path. See, this is very different in India, because in India, people think you got to be a renunciate to reach these high levels of prana. Lahari actually taught being a householder is a much better spiritual path, that renunciates become lazy. Mm-hmm. They're monks. They become lazy. When you're a householder, that's the stronger and better spiritual path. Number three, he said, do not worship altars or images. Number four, he stated clearly, the guru is not some man. The guru is within you. Number five, he taught, replace all unnecessary practices with Kriya, because everything is about energy. Once you raise energy, you don't need other practices. So it's that, what I said, if I had to pick one practice, this is the practice I'm picking. And number six, he said, do not create an organization around Kriya. So what do you think happened?
All of the above.
So here's what happened. So a great teacher and several teachers took Kriya. One was Swami Yukteswar. He was the yogi who took Kriya and created a monastery. He was a renunciate. And he had a very prominent student by the name of Paramahansa Yogananda, who wrote Autobiography of a Yogi. Yogananda took Kriya to the United States, and he built self-realization fellowships. Over the years, Kriya became a secret. In other words, there were rules. You could only learn Kriya through a guru, and you had to vow not to teach it to outsiders. So I started in self-realization fellowship in the mid-1990s, and I've never talked about Kriya or practices, because until recently, I had the belief that you can't teach it unless you were a student of self-realization fellowship and did years of study first. And then you had to worship a guru. Well, what happened to Lahari's teachings is actually the same thing that happened to Jesus Christ's teachings. Jesus fought religion, fought the rabbis. He never would have built an organization that would hate, kill, and separate themselves from other people. And if you don't believe me, just slow down and look at his teachings. He taught everybody. He did not look at caste. The want to belong is tied to the want of control. Organizations with a secret, it's all crap. Because this is what creates the human constraint. The doctrine of secrecy creates dependence. Students feel their souls depend on something outside themselves in order to be saved or experience God. They feel special. I know, because I did. And it's not what Kriya is. Kriya Yoga is a series of techniques that raises prana. It raises vibration. And it's a simple psychophysiological method. And there are many Kriyas. You have to advance through the Kriyas. But what it does is, it's a psychophysiological method which the human blood is decarbonized and recharged with oxygen. And the atoms of the extra oxygen is transmuted into
prana, life current. And this process raises vibration in the brain. It rejuvenates the brain and the spinal centers, the chakras. So my sessions, when I do Kriya, and I don't know, I'm going to try to explain this, create such a high vibration, I feel like my body is vibrating. Have you ever stood on a power plate?
Yeah.
That's what like it feels like.
The stretching areas?
Yes. A power plate, something that vibrates you. That's what I feel like when I do Kriya. And I can feel every cell in my body vibrate. And this isn't the transformation, though. This is the spiritual practice. The transformation is the vibration you carry into the day in everything you do. There is a reason I can do what I do at age 60. There's a reason I no longer have diabetes. There's a reason I am no longer obese. There's a reason I can do things at 60 that most 30-year-olds can't do. It's because I walk with a higher prana. Now, can you just do this technique and totally transform yourself? And the answer is no. It has nothing to do with secrecy, by the way. See, to do Kriya, you must get your body and mind into a higher vibration, higher prana. In other words, you're not going to be able to perform this if you're consistently stressed out. It just can't. It's impossible. The body won't allow it. So I believe somebody can attempt the technique, but the only way it works, if it's done on first, like you heard David said, it's a very regular, consistent basis. There's no breaks. It has to be part of who you are, but also you must first get yourself into a full stage 4 in all 5 life categories. And for years I practiced Kriya and it helped, but it didn't give me what others had gotten from it or what I read about it. And then I didn't realize this until probably 7-8 years ago. It was because I was still stuck in stage 3 in my relationship category. I had, which means I'm stressed out. And then I had expectations, which led to disappointments. And so a lot of this is what happened. But once I shifted into stage 4, the Kriya opened up my heart chakra. And as I moved into stage 5, interconnected mind, Kriya has now opened up my eye, my third eye. Now, Kriya practices are based in moving through exercises through the throat chakra, which opens you to higher spiritual energies. Now, next week, I will share my stage 5 experience. I'm going to start sharing some of these experiences. But for today, I wanted to talk a little bit about this. Now, I'm sure anybody who's part of Self-Realization Fellowship are going to send me some nasty emails. That's okay, because I'm all right. You guys, if you feel that you have to be part of a secret organization in order to have yourself a spiritual experience and it's working for you, God bless you. But most people, it doesn't work. They're really stuck because they're stuck in the want to belong. They're stuck in the want of control. You can't have a higher spiritual experience and be stuck in the wants. So Dave, I don't even know what you want to say, but I wanted to share this for the first time and your thoughts.
The one thing that I have is take this for food for thought. Just know that there's so many levels to this. And that's the thing that I've learned is that you go at your own pace. You realize where you are and what's working for you. And you kind of follow in with that. There's times where I ask Bill questions about things that I know I'm not ready for. Just because it's intriguing doesn't mean I try it. Stay within your level, because when you go to these things or you look up how to do this or how to do that and it doesn't work for you, you're going to say, that's BS. It doesn't work. No,
exactly.
It doesn't work for you because you're not there. It's not supposed to work.
Yeah.
So people trying to open up the third eye and do all these things, work in the progression, learn on just mastering the daily stresses of life, master your body, master the basics of personal development and the basis of spirituality. And you'll eventually start to go into these things naturally, but it's okay to be interested and kind of, you know, curious about these things, but understand that there's levels, and skipping levels will cause failures. And right. you will see it as a failure, and your ego will just get stronger and stronger because yep. now you're a failure. When in reality, it probably would have worked for you if you would have spent a couple of years working on yourself and getting there.
That's well, all I know I for me, it didn't work for me. I would do it, but it didn't. What I feel now and what I felt when I started then, it's night and day because you have to first get in at stage four.
Yeah.
You have to. You guys, what we're teaching you guys are the exact progression it takes. You can't skip. It's just impossible to skip people. You know, people mm-hmm. that have near-death experiences see the truth. Yet when they come back, most of them fall right back into their old stage three behavior because the human being is hardwired for behavior. You must work on yourself. And here's the thing. I don't do Kriya to see lights and to have this vibration and to do that. That's not why I do it. I do it so I can talk to you guys on a higher vibration, so I can work with my clients. Now, I tried to set my clients up with practices that can take them into this, and they will fight me all the time. Ways I have them meditate, I have them do counts. They want to fight it. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, okay, that's okay. Because you can't force it. You can't fake it till you make it. But with that being said, David says something very important. Everyone can do it. You don't have to be special because, oh God, I'm sure not special. I mean, I always say if I could do it, anybody could do it. It just really does take, you know, a consistency of action. And you have to, everything we're teaching you, I don't ever talk about this stuff because I don't want to really derail you from what you're working on now. But I did want to share this one episode and take myself out of that secret society. I'm done. You guys, yeah. I'm done. I'm not going to, it's not secret. It's that's not what it was originally intended to be. And I didn't even know that until recently.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Dave?
It's a good episode. Interesting.
That's it for today's show. I feel like you're going to have a million questions for me. I can see you already. Come on, I see got my you. Notes. And no, I'm not going to teach it to you yet. That's it for today's show. Our mission here is the greatest shift in the planet. And you can join us on that mission by simply like, share, and subscribe. Those links are right below the show. As always, until next time, stay inspired.